what's actually going on right now. What are we witnessing?
The breaking of the Matrix, my friend.
While this transition is happening, people are going to have so many different experiences.
We're in this together, and the sooner we realize that, the sooner we can transcend.
We're conditioned to live in these powerless states and this learned helplessness.
Ego rebirth in 2012.
It's all a joke. We don't have to be slaves. Yes.
Deep down inside, it was just this squishy little marshmallow.
Meditative process of going within, and I believe the world needs our creativity.
The elder's on the other side, and straight above him was the arrow pointing straight north.
You don't need to do anything. Be who you are.
Humanity will win. I truly do. I don't see it going any other way.
To release the old programs and simply reach a new layer of being within this human experience.
We are only ever in the now.
Never, ever, ever doubt your own power. And that's really what I want anyone listening to take away.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Conrad, brought to you by Conrad, presenting Conrad. I'm not better than you. I'm not smarter than you. I'm not funnier than you. I just like to think out loud. Will you join me in this interview show from across the pond, the sacred woman? I wanted to invite her on after our last all hands meditation across the world. Yeah, we had a great time. And we're about to do it again on January 24th, which is a Sunday. Let's do the times. Well, we're going to go as far as east, from my viewpoint, as Berlin, which is 8 p.m., 7 p.m. London. If you're in Europe, I'm sure you can use those two time slots to figure out what the hell actual time it is for you. Africa, too. I'm looking at you, Lagos. South Africa. Huh? Morocco? Congo? Huh? So that would be, that translates to 2 p.m. in the East Coast, a.k.a. New York City, Miami, Charlotte, D.C., which is locked down by our own military. How the hell is that supposed to go to? I don't know how that's going to end. I guess we're going to know really soon. In fact, if you're listening to this after the fact, you already know. Also, Central Time, so Chicago. I don't know what else is Central Time. St. Louis, maybe Louisiana, which would be New Orleans. Texas? Mountain Time. Is that Colorado? Is that Denver? Albuquerque? I think that's about it as far as big cities. Salt Lake City? I feel like they're West Coast. I could be wrong again. And then finally West Coast, which of course LA. My residence is San Diego. Ooh, what else is out there? San Francisco. You know the deal. I just named all California cities. What is that? Oh, Martin Luther. All right, can I be on snooze right here? I'm trying to record a podcast. And then Hawaii. Oh, I haven't been naming the times. So yeah, 2 p.m. East Coast, 1 p.m. Central, noon Mountain Time, and then 11 a.m. on the old, what's it called? West Coast. And then 9 a.m. Hawaii. I have a condo out there. Maybe I will get back there. It just depends on whether or not I'm going to be mobile. I don't want to be, as much as that is paradise, if this is going to turn into you need a COVID vaccine to travel, I don't want to be stuck on an island in the middle of the Pacific the rest of my life. We pushed it a little 2 hours to the right to include 7 a.m. Monday, New Zealanders for the most part. And then we had the East Coast of Australia in mind when it comes to 6 a.m. on Monday, the 25th. And I do have a few Australians, maybe a couple of New Zealanders that I know will be there. Hopefully, if you are from that region, you hear this and you decide to join us. Last time we had about 40 people. So please join us. I got back to California from New York. As predicted in my last episode, there was drama in the Capitol building in D.C. I didn't say specifically Capitol building. It's like the most obvious psyop of all time. They're trying to roll in Patriot Act Part 2. You know the deal. I don't want to talk about that right now. What I do want to talk about.
So I had to dub this in. Totally forgot. But I definitely wanted to mention, this was the plan the entire time. I just did an interview with Hold Up, Wait a Minute. It's a podcast that are available on all major platforms, including YouTube. And YouTube is the link that I added to the episode description where you can find my episode. Hold Up, Wait a Minute podcast. Subscribe to their YouTube. If you already listened on Apple or Spotify for me, I appreciate it. But also click on the YouTube link so you can add to my Q score. So thank you guys. Yeah, Hold Up, Wait a Minute. It was fun. My voice was a little Kermit the Frog-ish. I guess it doesn't translate to through Zoom that well. I recognize that my voice isn't, you know, the most dastardly voice of all time, which is why I try to bring so many people on who have accents from overseas and whatnot. Anyways, Hold Up, Wait a Minute. Great podcast. I'll probably have both of them on mine here in the near future as well. So check it out. Thanks.
So my guest today is a sacred woman. She, like I said, she led the last meditation group. I asked her to do the next big one we're doing on the 24th. Please join us. I wanted to have her on. This is her second time on the show. So if you're interested in her whole story from scratch, you can go back in time. She used to go by the Quantum Goddess. She went through a bit of a brand change. She does, she works primarily with females, energy work, grid work, the whole deal. So if she resonates with you, definitely find her website, which is in the episode description, and definitely check us out. We had, like I said, we had 40 plus people last time. It was a great time. Everyone, so many people interacted in terms of like speaking their truth, but no. So I went on a hike the other day when I got back to California, and I decided to go down this large pathway of like sort of stairs that lead to the beach. And little did I know that the beach was going to end up at a nude beach with 50-year-old pot-bellied men completely nude staring at me wondering what I was doing there. It was kind of odd because it's a nude beach that everyone accepts. I didn't realize it was right there. I knew it was in the region. It's called Black's Beach, which is weird because there's like kids running around there too, like with masks on. I don't know what is going on. There's nothing. You haven't lived until you've seen a completely nude man wearing a mask. Once you see that at the beach, then you have to say to yourself, humanity has peaked. It is time for this place to end. And let's just hit the goddamn button. So I decided, you know, I'm already down here. I made it this far. I'm going to walk to the beach for a little bit. And it was enjoyable. It's always good to get back into the ocean. In my opinion, the ocean heals. And if you haven't, that makes me wonder if, you know, 200 years from now, is someone going to be wearing a mask? And then they're going to say, why are we doing this? What if we take our masks off and go outside and get some fresh air and just breathe? What if we do that? What's going to happen? And then 200 years from now, someone's going to get that idea and they're going to do it and they're going to start a revolution. And that makes me think of now how everyone's walking around in sneakers, rubber soles, sneakers, and they're not grounding to earth. And how revolutionary is it when you just ground your feet to Gaia? When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time you just stood still, feet barefoot to the ground, grounding? Or you've just jammed it in some like mud. And you're an electrical being, magnetized too. But you're electrical for sure. It's running through you right now. Have you grounded yourself lately? And think of one of the psyops that it once was to convince everyone that barefoot equaled bad. So we act like this moment in history is new. We act like this is this new normal. And if we can just get back to the old normal, it'll be fine. But the reality is there's so many little hidden things that just came and went and completely generated a brand new understanding of this place that disconnected us in ways we don't even realize when we're born, because we're born into a world where you put shoes on. Think about that. And think about maybe X amount of years ago, someone who was barefoot was like, you don't understand. If we put shoes on, that is going to disconnect us from source. And since everyone was just connected and they didn't understand that, they just, you know, maybe they just got it. They took it for granted. Ooh, because we always, you know, maybe they took it for granted back then. They're like, what are you, a fucking crazy conspiracy theorist? Putting shoes on is going to disconnect you from source. You're not going to ground yourself. What are you talking about? Things here are fine. Tick tock, time continues. And now everyone is wearing sneakers. Disconnected because they don't ground. Anyway, food for thought. So without further ado, my guest, Poonam, a sacred woman. So I was interested, you know, yesterday or the other day when we communicated, you were kind of talking about your personal journey a little bit, and people are coming to you now, you know, they're like, whoa, the crazy girl is onto something. Right?
Crazy girl. I'll claim that.
I mean, that was your word. That wasn't my words. That was how your people were like, you know, the girl that walked away from the 9-to-5, who's doing her own thing. Like, she's onto something in this last year and this weird, because you're over in the UK, London, where lockdown has been way harder than anything in America, even in like California where I'm at. So just, you know, what's going on over there? How's it been for you? And yeah, you know, what are you seeing?
If I'm honest, I mean, I'm in London and we were in tier 4, which was, and we've had so many different regulations over the past year that if I'm honest, everyone's really confused. And when the whole corona thing hit last year, I pretty much was like, well, my life doesn't change purely because when I'm hermiting, I'm really hermiting. And when I go out, because I don't have a 9-to-5 job, I'm always in nature anyway. So I don't go into places like central London or those packed places. And my work, you know, I can do my work anywhere because I'm effectively a healer or a teacher and I'm teaching alternative medicine. So for me personally, it didn't really change much. It was more the fact of like, okay, everyone else isn't able to do the things that they want to do, like go into shops, go into offices. But I don't go into shops and I don't go into offices
right.
Because that's, I mean, prior to 2020, I actually probably spent what I class as 2 years away from society. So when I left my corporate job, people did think, I felt a lot of people thought I went a bit rogue. Because I made so many drastic changes in my personal life and I decided to cut ties from society. So it doesn't mean like, you know, I was living in a mountain, but I may as well have been because I didn't have a job. I was working on my own spirituality courses, getting teachings, traveling, and effectively I wasn't in society. I didn't feel like I was. I felt like I was pretty much meditating every day. Focusing on myself, reading, learning every day. And yeah, there were a lot of people that were kind of concerned about me because I made a lot of drastic life changes in a very short period of time. And as a Capricorn sun, I've always known to be very reliable and practical. And I am still very reliable and practical. But it was the fact that I had made so many big changes, I think, that catalyzed specific responses in people, because you know the typical thing of, well, you had a very stable job, you were earning amazing money, you had a great foundation in many areas of your life, and you made the choice to basically destroy all of the foundations of your life and leave that behind. So I understand and I empathize why people would say, okay, have you gone a bit crazy? Like, have you just turned into a hippie? Is that your thing now? But the thing is, I've always been that since a young age. It's just the fact that I just didn't pursue it as a path so actively. I was doing it behind closed doors. But this time, everyone knew I was doing it behind closed doors. And they were naturally triggered by it. And I don't think that's a good or bad thing. I just think it's an aligned thing. So I do make a joke and say people thought I was going crazy, because I think people view, I just think there's this view in society where people think when someone makes so many radical changes that they must be having a breakdown.
Yeah, right.
or like, you know, when an authentic expression is seen. And like, as a person, I'm never the same every day. Like, I've always been like that. It's like one day you'll see me in bright colors, one day you see me in black. One day, you know, I'll be dancing all day, and one day it's like, I don't want to speak to anyone and you won't see me for weeks. But that is just the way I am. And I think when we start to learn our authentic self, we start to flow with our own flow. And I think when people see radical changes happen in their lives, other people's lives, it makes them question their own changes and it makes them question the things that they might have to change. And because it's so unknown to them, it questions their own foundation. So like, for instance, I left a corporate job. I left a marriage. I left a household. So people would think, hang on, those are three very stable things in your life. Are you okay? And obviously, I was obviously like everyone, always healing. I'm always healing myself. And I was, you know, I would be lying if I said I was fantastic. But I did feel fantastic because I was following my own heart. I was making changes for the betterment of my life rather than the opposite. And I think that's why people, and I don't blame very close people to me to be concerned because they love me, but it's one of those things.
So
I'm happy to be crazy.
So when people are getting triggered, why is there triggering? What is being triggered inside of people? Like, what is so offensive to an authentic person? What's the inner turmoil going on there, do you think?
I think it's more I don't even think it's an offensive thing. I just think it's a very natural thing. And I don't even think that it's, I think everyone gets triggered by everyone in life. So,
right.
Like, you know, right now, like, you know, we're on this podcast and you might trigger me by saying something. Hopefully. Or I might trigger you. Or, you know, I might be walking down the street and I might see a bird and get triggered by the bird. I think it's just the fact that I always put it down to energy, and the fact that when there is such an energy that triggers you, it's your biggest blessing, because you're seeing something that you are unable to see in yourself. Whether it, you class it as a good thing or a bad thing, that's what happens, because energy can't be removed. It can only be transformed. So it's like when I remember, I mean, I wasn't even on social media until last year, really. Like I was away from society. So it's like when I decided to really like start communicating with the world and start like doing things again, it was very much the case where I would see other people doing things that I do now online, like very public, very seen, and it would trigger me because I was so away from it. And it would trigger me in such a way where I'd be like, whoa, like I have work to do, like I need to build my confidence, like why am I scared? Why am I scared of showing my authentic spiritual gifts? Why am I scared of sharing my voice? Why am I scared of doing these things? And I think it's the same thing. It's like when I was in the corporate world and I was enjoying my job, I would have clients, and those clients would really trigger me because they would trigger parts in me that I know I need to work on. So I think it's a natural cause and effect thing. And I think everyone gets triggered by everyone. And in this context, I think obviously the main crux of it is the fact that when someone sees someone living in their truth and identity, it's really going to question what they think is real. And as you know, there's a lot of things around us in society that is just a load of bullshit.
Yeah.
So when people see other people living their own authentic life in sovereignty, and I mean being free, being their own boss, you know, creating their own lives, not having matrix ties, it's going to question them. Of course it's going to question, people are going to get questioned, because if you're in a 9-to-5 job and you're in a job that you hate, you're stressed, you have low, you know, your mental state isn't that great, your physical state isn't that great, you don't have time for yourself. And I mean, I'm talking from experience, I'm not bashing anyone, that was me for 10 years. It's like, you're going to feel triggered by someone who's like, hey, look at me, I'm traveling the world and I'm my own boss. And, you know, I can take, I can have 10 days sleeping in my bed. You know, and I get it, because that would have been me. I would have been like, how? You know, like it's not even a jealousy thing. It's more like, how can I do that? Because it sounds so nice and fulfilling. And I'm not saying my life is like that and I'm not glamorizing anything, but I just think it's a fact of healthy living. You know, am I living to truth, or am I being a cattle in a system where I'm being told how to live my life in such a way where I actually don't even know who I am anymore? I don't know who my authentic self is.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what's going on right now, though? Isn't that, I mean, people are learning pretty quickly that their job that they thought was going to be always here was going to be their path to retirement. A lot of stuff this past year, like there's a new economy coming and it doesn't involve humans.
And people, well, yeah.
You know, and people don't seem to really grasp that. They think, you know, it's called the fourth industrial age. And some people think it's all BS, but the reality is like life in 1950 doesn't match life in 2020. So things do change. It doesn't always have to be nefarious. Sometimes it's just the natural progression of how we understand reality. And it seems like, you know, with machines and streamlining, and then people are using this year as a beta test to be like, you don't have to go into the office. So mm-hmm. Now there's offices that are becoming empty. And now if you thought you were just going to be like a lease land, you know, property owner of office buildings, and you have 10 of those, and now suddenly 7 of them, suddenly no one's leasing them out, but you still owe on the mortgage. It's like the economy, people are tanking left. All the people I know who not only are surviving, but are sort of beginning to strive, or you know really hit their mark, are people that are chasing after what they actually want to be, like the person they actually are, as opposed to fitting into the system that they felt like they had to be a part of. And what's interesting about that, it's just becoming more obvious that this system doesn't care about you and you're expendable at any moment. So why would you dedicate a lifetime to something that will drop you at the bottom of a, you know, in a second?
Well, I mean, I think the key word that you said there was, you know, people are understanding that they have to create their own path. I think that's the key lesson in this. You know, it's for me, the theme of sovereignty just screams out, because when you are in such a system, you don't realize how much you rely on it because you follow it for so long. And it's true. I mean, I wholeheartedly believe in the New World Order, that, you know, this is a reoccurring era that we've had many times on the planet, where we are in this new industrial revolution. You know, there's going to be, and I believe this is the catalyst. This has to happen for people to realize that they can create out of nothing, which is the beauty of life in general, right? I mean, we have the ability to be sovereign. We can create whoever we want to be through our authenticity, and we don't need the system for it. That we can create what we actually want. I mean, I always used to think about this when I was younger, and it's a great question, and it's always around. It's like, what would you do if money didn't exist? Well, isn't that what's going to happen? Because the banks are going to crash soon. But it's like, what would you do? And it's like, why are you giving your time, your precious energy, your precious life to something that you really don't give a shit about? Or are you going to give to yourself and everyone else, not for the money, but because you actually enjoy it? Heaven forbid. You know, like, you actually enjoy it and you can create from that. I mean, I was having a conversation with my brother last night. We were just, because he's he's a student, but he's a photographer, and he doesn't want to create a photography business. He wants to be an art teacher because he loves his craft. He does it for himself. That's what he thrives on. And it's amazing for me as his older sister, obviously, because I'm proud of him. I'm like, that's my little brother and he's creating things. But I feel the same. It's like, for me, I'm very much that projector type. It's like, I don't want to be generating every day and burn myself out to something that's not fulfilling me. It's like, in my own career, I don't like to call it career, but in my own service and offerings, it's like, I'm a spiritual teacher. I love developing healing modalities. I'm not here to be, you know, I don't want to create a clinic where people come to me every day and I have another system. I want to create, you know, I want to create what's fulfilling to me so that I can give more depth. And that's the thing. It's like, when it doesn't matter what job you're in or what service you give, if you're doing something that hits the depth of you and you're giving the depth of you, the amount of fulfillment you get in your life is so profound that you cannot but live your life in confidence. Like, you cannot but live your life smiling. And even if you don't have great days, and I'm not that person, I'm not naive, it's like, you're gonna have ups and downs, but it's a fact of understanding that, why would you want to be controlled by a system that's fed by propaganda and lies? Why not create for yourself where you can understand that you have freedom? And there's so much freedom to be had. And it is a crazy time, and obviously I'm in the UK, I'm in London. And at the moment, we're in lockdown, and it's interesting because, I mean, I live in a borough where actually a lot of people are quite rebellious.
Nice.
I mean, which is quite nice.
Right.
But I live like 45 minutes tube ride into central London, if not less. So I live in between quite a few rail stations and undergrounds, and it's really easy for me to get into central London. But at the same time, it's not like so much of a city. It's still a bit of a suburban vibe. So I'm not like in Greater London, but I'm not in Central. So I get a bit of the best of both worlds in both ways. So I get best of both worlds in lockdown. And what was nice personally for me to see was last year in the summer, going to nature and seeing so many people in nature. It's like, because of the lockdown, there's more kids in the park, there's more people running around and just doing, you know, having that free time. So I think, yes, there's a lot of people in turmoil, a lot of people losing jobs. In the UK, a lot of people, you know, losing jobs. But at the same time, what's beautiful to see is that even the people I know, friends and family that work from home, are reconsidering their life. And that's the most amazing thing, because they're realizing, hang on, if I'm working from home, I have more time. I can make that lasagna recipe that I've put on hold. Right. Like, I don't know, whatever they're into. Or like, you know, I have more time to paint, or, you know, I can listen to the music that I don't get to listen to in the office, or I can do things and I can really appreciate what's around me and what I can create with it, rather than, I don't know, for me personally, the corporate world is a distraction, but then it's not even the corporate world. It's like the media is a distraction. And the worst thing about this is that even the fact that we're in lockdown, especially in the UK, there's a new system put in place for people to plug in. So if it's not their jobs, it's the media, it's the news pumping the fear, you know? And if it's not that, it's like the new supermarket or the new pharmacies that want to promote the jab, you know, the vaccine, things like that.
Yeah, I think everyone's screen time on their phone probably doubled in 2020, you know? You know, you've had real opportunities to really find new forms of digging into this same old system, or you've utilized the same time to, like you were saying, to separate and understand your true self. Now, you were saying one of the, your services that you offer, like what you do, one of the things that you do is that you lead giant groups of meditation on Zoom, where you give light codes. Am I mistaken in saying this? Because I believe that's what happened last month on the solstice.
No, you're not mistaken. That was so amazing. It was really awesome. Yeah, it was, because one of the things that I do and I love personally, what I do in my own private life and I do give, is a lot of my work I give through meditation. And a lot of the light codes I give is through meditation. And a lot of the shamanic healing I do is through breathwork, meditation, and different techniques. And yeah, it was just phenomenal. It was awesome. It was awesome to feel the energies of so many people all around the world. And I do a lot of work with the Divine Feminine, so a lot of the female collective. So for me, it was really beautiful to have all energies. So Divine Feminines, Divine Masculines, and just to really provide a space of nourishment and, I guess, restoration, and provide light codes at the same time. And I mean, you tell me, the feedback was phenomenal, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I know everyone really enjoyed it. I mean, we had like a group discussion at the end. It wasn't even the end, it was after. And, you know, I'd say probably like 20 people, you know, shared their thoughts, their experiences. I know already people, you know, I've said, yes, I'm going to the next one, which is January 24th, Sunday. So when you say light codes, what was happening when you were doing the guided meditation? What do you mean by light codes?
Okay. I provide shamanic healing, but I'm also a psychic medium. And what that means is that I'm literally an instrument for energy. So in all of my services, I act as an instrument for spirit. So everything I do is live and channeled with all of my services, all of my clients. So on that day, what happens is I tap into my own meditation and I guide everyone through a meditation. But what's actually happening inside of me, I'm holding space and I'm feeling every single person in that meditation, and I'm feeling all of their codes. So I'm feeling all of their shadows, all of their thoughts, not everyone's. So I'm not that creepy. If you ask me, I'll give you a reading, and then I can be creepy on your permission. But
scary.
I'm feeling everyone. I'm feeling everyone's energies, and I get downloaded instructions and guidance from my ancestral guides, basically my higher self, on the type of energetic work that wants to be done. So as everyone's in meditation and their eyes are closed, my main focus is providing the right technique that I'm guided to. And it'll be a number of things, whether it's like tantric breath work, whether it's another form of theta healing. I'll put people in that meditative space. And once they're in that space, what ends up happening is I start to move. So my hands start to move and I start playing around with the energies of everyone. So I start sending out light codes. And what happens to me is it's almost like I am put under a spell. So I'm not in myself, I'm the instrument, and I just allow it to flow. So from my crown, I receive a whole bulk of energy. And what it feels like to me personally is like, if I don't send this energy out, I'm going to explode. So it's like this huge amount of love. Like, I can't, it's just this such a beautiful amount of love that I feel. And it's just, it's like all I can think about is sending love. And that's what happens. It's like, I just want to give the love out. And what happens is my hands will move in certain codes and patterns in geometric ways. And I will then ground everyone. So, and I will journey myself. So we will then journey to different planes of consciousness. As you know, I'm a shaman. I take people to different dimensions and different waves of consciousness. And depending on what you wants to be experienced in you on that day during the meditation, you may have visions, you may hear things, you may see things, you may feel things, you might have movements yourself. You will feel an energetic shift. So I then start shifting energy according to the guidance that I'm receiving. And then I take people on journeys. And I'm not visual. I'm only visual in my dream life. So I experience everyone's journeys, but I experience it as a feeling, as a download. So it's almost like I'm the computer and then like a new USB gets plugged into me. So what happens at the end and what happened last time, which was so beautiful, is when everyone shared their experience of what they saw, I then remembered. So it's like, oh yeah, that did happen for you because I felt it.
Right.
And that's the most phenomenal thing.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. Like, you know, you were speaking about jaguars and people saw actual jaguars, like the cat, like a jaguar. Mm-hmm. People were all saying that they were seeing similar like colors in like those orb like shapes with their eyes closed. You know, it's funny. Anytime I talk about any stuff like this, inevitably I get people, I have people who listen, but they're listening to save me. And they'll send me like a YouTube video. It's like astral projection and demons and stuff like that. You know, like, and it's all, yeah, I know. And it's like Jesus. I'm like, it's funny. Cause it's these people who they say they care about me, but they don't, I'm not denying that there's a level of care there. But they're sorely mistaken because they've misunderstood what care is. Care isn't trying to put someone into a box that you believe in hopes of having them think what you think so that they're safe and you're safe. That's not, for me, that's not experience. That's not life. That's a boring concept of eternity. So, yeah. But a lot of people shared that day, you know, just even myself visually, I was seeing like a lot of, I saw blue, if I recall, mm-hmm. and a lot of people were seeing blue, and then blue is related to, I think it's the throat chakra, I want to say, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
You know, and that's always a big one for me, especially that was for 2020. That was probably like a theme, like throat, speaking your truth, whatever. Yeah. What would you say to anyone who doesn't think that, or they're curious, but they're like, why would a Zoom group meditation be worth attending? What would you say to anyone like that?
I would say, first of all, that it's worth it because even if you're new to meditation, even if you've never meditated in your life, if there's anything in you that's remotely interested, please join, because these type of meditations, it's not a cult.
Yeah,
we are not preaching. Right. We're not trying to show you a way so that you can be a certain way. It's actually so that you can feel freedom.
Mm.
And freedom in a space where there's other people that want to feel freedom too. And it's a space of love. It's a space of, and I don't mean it in a cheesy way, but it actually is a space of love, because you're sharing your own personal experiences. Even if you have a meditation experience and it's not a great experience, you have the support of a community. And I think that's the most important thing. It's not about who's guiding the meditation. It's not about the meditation itself. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got, as in you, Conrad, hosting it. It's got nothing to do with any of that. It's got, what it has to do with is the fact that you can be yourself.
Yeah.
And if you join, you're able to experience something maybe you haven't experienced before. And if you do like meditations, then you're really going to enjoy it, because you're going to be meditating with other people. And for me, what I really like is the interactive bit where you can hear people's journeys, because it's curious, you know, you become curious. It's like, ooh, I wonder what that person saw. How did you experience that? Right. You know? So that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah. And when, you know, when I logged on, started the session, and everyone started, you know, the screen started to populate with people joining, it was people all over the world. And we're utilizing a tool that clearly, the more we look at this in reality, is technology, cell phone. There's always someone listening. We're never like this conversation right now is being recorded in the NSA, they created this system to where now we're reliant on communication that is going to be observed by some exterior force that doesn't mean well for us if push comes to shove. But it's our way of sticking up our middle finger to it, still utilizing it and saying we don't care. And there is freedom in joining with groups of people in the name of love, in the name of experience, in the name of change, and not just accepting the paradigm that has been offered up to us for the reasons why it was given to us. And that one of the, the characteristics of what it means to be human, in my opinion, is taking the worst of things and finding the good out of it, making it a positive experience and using that creative, genetic code inside of all of us to sort of switch the game and switch the purpose and switch what they're trying to achieve as a result. So in that sense, you can be rebellious. You're a natural rebel as well, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I love about it, because I just think everything I'm doing is like I'm utilizing Zoom when we do the group meditation or when I work with my clients. And it's like, right, I'm connecting with people all over the world. And the beautiful bittersweet paradox is that without Zoom, without these structures in place, I wouldn't be able to. But that is it. It's like with every light has a shadow. And it's all about transformation. It's like transformation is the key. And what the theme that I always think about, and I have been thinking about a lot since 2021 came in, is this theme of radical fearlessness. Mm. Understanding that you can be fearless when you accept transformation. So it's like, I'm not a perfect person. I've done crazy things in my life. Not so great. I don't know. But it's like,
right.
Check out the next podcast for that story.
Yeah.
But
that one time in Thailand. No, I don't know.
I've never been to Thailand.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
But no. But it's like, we're all on this awakening healing path together. And I'd be lying if I said, I haven't had illnesses or I haven't gone through suffering. And the thing is that it's like we need suffering, regardless to what extent, to understand that we can transform. And it's the moment that we accept that, yes, we have suffered in life, and yes, there is fear. Yes, that, things can be really shit, like the corona, like the pandemic, like the lockdowns, that we can see that actually we can make the best out of the situation. And I think that, and that's the key. It's like saying to someone, and what hurts me, like actually hurts me the most, is when people feel like they can't heal themselves. Feel like they can't change in life. And it's kind of like, but yes, you can. Like, you can change your life by reading a positive quote every day. Like,
yeah.
It's positive, like, you can change. Yeah. You can change your life by listening to this podcast. Maybe you listen to this podcast.
Absolutely.
You have a bit of a giggle and you're like, who's this crazy woman? She went to Thailand, apparently. or whatever. And it's that. It's kind of, it's accepting that you can change. And I just, even outside of this pandemic, it's more, it's just, we need a catalyst for change. And that's the whole thing of the whole Industrial Revolution, right? It's like the last Industrial Revolution was a catalyst for great change. And I remember learning about it in college because I studied literature and I was studying, like, I love the Renaissance period. I love the bourgeoisie. I studied the last Industrial Revolution, and I studied history as well. So for me, as a history nerd, I was like, whoa, like, this is so cool, because people like Rousseau and Blake and all the beautiful authors that now we study, and the Romantic era and the artists, the most phenomenal artists were born, the philosophers. As a philosopher myself, it's like, it excites me. Because I want to encourage free thought. It's like, I want to encourage new perspectives. It's like, we are the ones building this evolution, regardless of who you are. You don't have to be spiritual. Everyone, in my opinion, is spiritual. Yes. We're all on a journey together. So it's like, we need this catalyst to pave the way for new ideologies, new philosophies, new thoughts, new perspectives. It's like, how are we ever going to create a world that we want in ourselves and with each other if we are afraid of something new?
Yeah.
And I think that's the most exciting thing.
Yeah, I remember, like, this was way back in college for some English class, and I wrote an article. I wrote a paper.
He was writing articles even then.
Yeah, and no one read it then either. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm joking. So it was along those lines of like, why is this person from the past an authority? Aren't I allowed to create a new thought that can be more, I guess authority was the word I was focusing on. I don't know if I'd use that word now, but more influence over my understanding of reality as opposed to this person from thousands of years back. Not saying there isn't wisdom there, not saying you can't learn from them, but when we keep defaulting back to so-and-so said versus I say, or I understand, or even better, I've alchemized, I've transmuted, that then it's like you're missing, then why have the human experience unless you're supposed to come to some your own, you know, understanding of illumination, of understanding, of enlightenment, whatever verbiage you want to use. It's like we should be building off the backs of intellectual giants and increasing that construct, not just staying completely married to it to the point to where we become, where it becomes a god to us. And that's kind of religion in a nutshell when you think about it. So yeah, I mean, I agree.
I think that's a great point. Oh, it's a good point because I agree as well. I mean, it's one of the things, I mean, and I admit to preaching this because I really feel strongly about this, is the fact that old spirituality is only a foundation of what we are going to create. And like, I pay homage to it. I mean, for God's sake, my current ancestral avatars, like my parents' family, both came from yogic lineage. You know, I pay big homage to the fact that, you know, I can't, they, my family came from the Himalayas, but am I that yogi on the mountain? No, of course I'm not. I'm just Poonam Mandalia from East London. So they came from that structure. I'm not going to try and be that structure because we're not in that structure in evolution. It's the same with, yes, I provide shamanic healing, but I'm not like that shaman all those years ago because I don't live in that evolution. So why do we have these books? It's like, why do we even learn? It's like the whole point of that is to create something for ourselves. So we literally lose ourselves in another matrix by trying to get out the matrix, but then we fall back in again. It's like that same trap. And I go back to the same conversation I had with my brother yesterday. We were talking about industries, and for me, I'm also very passionate about the whole competitive scene. Because for me, I just think to provide any form of healing is to unite as a tribe. There's no competition there. We're all one anyway. We all come from source. There's no one's better than anyone else. There's no, like, there's no competition to be the world's best spiritual healer.
Right.
And we were laughing about that. Oh, good Lord. I know. We were like giggling because I was just like, that's jokes, because there isn't. You know, there's no competition to be the world's best spiritual teacher, because the fact is there is no teacher but your own self, which is your own heart. So regardless of if you follow a spirituality practice or not, we're not trying to fall in a system where everyone's, you know, if everyone starts following the same pattern, everyone starts wearing the same jumper every day because, and it's like a spiritual jumper, then we're creating a cult, right?
Yeah.
It's like we're creating another cattle farm. It's like the whole purpose of finding your authentic voice is that each and every one of us has a unique gift.
Yeah.
And like, and if we come together, we are so much stronger because those unique gifts are needed. And you're not unique in the sense of, oh, you're put on a pedestal because you're able to do these things with, let's say, your energy or whatever. You could be a writer. You could be a doctor. You could be a jumper maker. Like, you could make wool. You could be on a farm. Like, everything has its place. And I just think if you're delivering any sort of service with love, regardless of what you're doing, you're sharing your gift. And I just think that is the key thing. It's like, how are we supposed to unite as a collective if we're continuously falling into traps when we get out of traps? Like, we're not trying to preach people to fall back into another trap again.
Right.
And I think that's a major topic. I mean, I see it, and that's just me being blunt and truthful. I see it all the time. And it's kind of like, and I'm a huge ambassador of feminine, you know, evolution in consciousness. And it's like, when I see women compete against each other, and I'm just like, what are we competing for? The best female spiritual healer? No, we're not. Or, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, what, where did that programming come from? Where, like, why aren't we supporting each other? Like, why aren't we you know, building that sisterhood. Like, you know, we all have a period. We all go through the same thing. And it's in the male collective. Like, why isn't the male collective sort each other? Why aren't males supporting females? And if you don't go by a gender and you, that's accepted as well. Why aren't we accepting that? It's like, right. I just think it goes across industry, across all values. And yeah, oh my God, I sound preachy, but I don't need to. But
no, I agree.
P.S. You can buy my jumper, but I'll give you the link to buy my spiritual jumper at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
Just joking.
No, you know, that's a good point. When you first, just like thinking of my own story, because that's obviously the main frame of reference. And then I do have a question about shamanism in general. It's like when you, like I grew up in a church. And so you see the preacher, the pastor, the musician, whatever it is. And like, he's like, okay, if I act like them, then I'll be good. I'll be righteous. I'll be accepted. And it's like, no, you're just, even if they're, it has nothing to do with the character of those individuals. Let's just say they're great people, but they're still not you. So you're just, it's like you said, you're putting on a facade in the name of chasing after some false form of righteousness. And when you break away from that, from a religion standpoint, but you still have a spiritual desire, that programming is still locked in. So it's like, well, maybe if I talk like Ram Dass, then people, you know what I mean? It's like, maybe if I talk like, maybe if I sound as smart as Alan Watts, then, people, you know, so it's like there, that's that desire. I think it's like, it's a dual thing in the sense that you see a model that worked. But it didn't just work in the sense that it's powerful, but it also worked in the sense that, well, Ram Dass did this for his life. Alan Watts did this for his career. Mm-hmm. Like they made a living doing this. And that's a goal, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, I can just do this, you know? Well, if I can just sound like them, that worked, maybe that can happen, but that's where you lose the authenticity. Yeah. So it's, I think it's this deep, because it's just not spirituality. That's anything in life. It's like, if I want to be a great coach, what coaches can I in sports? If I want to be a great chef, do I scream like that Gordon Ramsay? You know, it's like everything, you know what I mean?
But it's true. It's true. Because it's like, again, like I was like the theme has been with me today. I posted a few things today about confidence and authenticity purely around these themes, because I think it's like people, like if I was walking down the street and someone saw me, you wouldn't think that I'm a spiritual healer. I mean, there's sometimes it's like, I mean, sometimes I listen to ghetto music. I listen to R&B and hip hop. Sometimes I listen to Michael Jackson. Sometimes I listen to 80s music, like, you know, or sometimes I listen to metal. There's no stereotype. That's the purpose. It's like my own life journey is what brought me here. Yeah. And it wasn't perfect. And it didn't fit anybody else's storyline. And that's why I'm able to put up a mirror and provide a shamanic healing, because I'm not here to be someone for you.
Yeah.
I'm here to show you yourself. Mm. And regardless, it's the same thing. It's kind of like, are you trying to follow a pattern because you think it's for success? It's like, it goes back to what we're talking about. Are you doing it for money or are you doing it for love? It's like, you know, it's like, I don't put on my voice for the sake of sounding relaxing. I was born this way. I don't provide meditations because I think that's the way I've seen other, like all of the teachers that have taught me, and I always pay great homage to them because I love them. They taught me the most valuable lessons in life. And it's not just the spiritual teachers. I'm talking about, I've had many teachers in my life. Friends, family have been my teachers, you know, and actual teachers. They provided me the wisdom to meet my consciousness, to make me understand who I am and what my gifts are.
Yeah.
And it's meditation that brought me out of so much unhappiness in my life. So, and it provided me that healing. And I'm a living example in understanding and seeing for my own self, wow, I healed so much because I meditated. I healed so much because I went to other shamanic healers and it provided me great insight of myself. That's why I became so passionate about it. And it's what awakened me to my own path. So I'm passionate about it because that was my path. And that's why I deliver it, because it's synchronized. I'm passionate about philosophy because at a young age, I had a family where, you know, we would watch programs on yogic philosophy because that's what they did. You know, right. Like, it's not like my, you know, I'm very grateful to my parents. They didn't drum any religion in me. They drummed a lot of culture because that's what they knew. So, you know, old yogic text, things like that, you know, stuff about goddesses. It's like, when I was like 5 or 6 years old, I would sit in front of pictures of goddesses and I would have no idea. Like, literally, I'd sit there and I would only do it and I'd be meditating and I had no idea that I was sitting. I only did it because I wanted to dress up in Indian clothes because I thought, I like art as well, and I paint. So for me, it's like, I love color. So I was like, I want to wear that because it's like a really nice color. So, and I was an only child until I was 7. So, you know, I was like, I want to dress up. Yeah. Let me wear that. And I only sat in front of them because that's what my aunt and my grandma used to do. And I used to spend a lot of time at their houses. And so I would follow my female role models at the time. And it's funny because I don't have a recollection, but my mum showed me a picture of me the other day of me at that age sitting there. She took a picture of me and I thought, wow, isn't that uncanny that now I'm like a 34-year-old woman and as a living, I channel the goddess and I'm doing that, you know? And that's the funny thing. It's like everything's aligned. So like, even if you are in a corporate job listening to this, we're not trying to make you feel shit. Like, you know, it's like, everything's aligned. So if you're going through anything in life or you are part of a system and you want to get out, or maybe you do enjoy your corporate job, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. The whole purpose is that you feel fulfilled in your own purpose and that you feel that you have a place on this earth and that you feel whole and you feel loved.
Yeah. Isn't that the purpose, like the true purpose of someone who understands themselves as a shaman? As you're just anyone you come across who, you know, comes to you for help or, you know, advice or whatever, you're just trying to help them. So, you know, unlock the subconscious on their own and help them figure out who they truly are on their own and realize that they're, yeah, you might guide them, but really they did the work themselves and it's their own, you know, moment of joy of realizing who they are. Isn't that kind of the deal of a shamanism?
Absolutely. It's all about putting that mirror up. It's like, what the purpose of a shaman is to be the bridge. It's to be, I was asked the other day, so what does shamanism mean to you? And I just said, how are you a shaman? I'm like, I'm a healer of wounds by showing people who they are, not who I am, not who anyone else is. I'm objective here. I'm here to show you the truth of your soul so that you can see who you are. But you, even if... And another thing that I'm passionate in, kind of, you could go to like 100 healers, but if you in yourself have not consciously made the choice to heal yourself, you will not heal from them. And it's that, it's like you go to a shaman so the shaman can show you the truth of yourself, and it might not be pretty. It might not. And most of the time it isn't, because healing isn't a pretty game. You know, it's not about glamorization. It's not about, oh, now I'm going to be like everyone else on a mountain. No, it's right. Actually accepting the truth of who you really are, because it's not actually about light. Even though I give light codes and we talk about light a lot, it's not about the light. It's not about the dark. It's actually understanding that we are both, that unless you accept the truth of yourself, you will never be able to accept yourself, because to be in the present moment and to be is to accept the past. And most of the time we're trying to heal ourselves because of the programming of the past and what we've been brought up with. And that's the key.
Yeah. Even like thinking about, because I know so many people that still go to church and like they like they'll church hop. Like they'll try a different church out. And it's like, and they're talking to me about going to this new church. And I'm like, man, don't you see? Like, I don't say this honestly, because it's not my journey. I want to say it. Mm-hmm. But it's like you're following the same formula and you're still missing the point. Like you're not, like the church doesn't matter. The church could be good, it could be bad. It's what you're chasing after, an external hero, savior, answer, and you're not taking full power. And that, it's so funny, like I go back to like those people sending me messages about astral projections, the devil, and it's like, there's, it's so funny to me how ingrained inside, especially Western culture, how it's like any sort of adventure, any sort of experience that you like you, that you can have is somehow rooted in being evil. Like someone sent me like this funny thing that they got sent to them, and it was like, and like the first three things are like signs you might be signs you might be getting tricked by the devil, and this is like dead serious. And like the first one was like having unique thoughts. It's like you're experiencing anomalies in your everyday life. You're seeing things. You're it's like, wait a second, why is this meme, why is this mindset, why is this construct so desperately trying to get people to stay put? What is the worry? Why was that created? What was the purpose behind that? Why is it so important to have humans not tapping in to their full light body capability, or whatever you want to call it?
Oh, it's because of the power of it. You know, most of the time, or if not all of the time, we're afraid of our own magnificence. So if we follow a structure, it's a beautiful disguise, it's a beautiful escapism of not seeing who we are. And the thing about when you find yourself and you find your soul, or you find your magic, you find that power in you, you find that it's actually not about power. When you claim your power, it's right. All about the fact that you open yourself to infinite possibilities. And that's what people are afraid of. People are afraid of their own power, because you do not realize how powerful you are just by being you.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to follow a system. You don't have to practice anything. Just by being alive, you have power. And I think that's the key. And it is that thing of, you know, new experience. And I certainly know when I first started mediumship, it was scary for me, because I was like, why am I having these visions? And why am I having these premonitions? And why do I feel deaf people? And why do they talk to me at night? You know? And why won't they let me sleep? And things like that.
What's it called? What do you call it?
Oh, necromancy. Yeah, so I'm a necromancer. Yes. So it's like, I bring people from the dead. And a lot of people, like, I'm
evil.
A lot of people come to me. I'm really the devil, people. No, it's like, look, some people do come to me and they're afraid of me because
right.
they think, oh no, I might possess them or something. But it doesn't work that way. You know, it's like I'm a teacher. I teach, you know, I initiate other shamans on the shamanic medicine wheel. I initiate other mediums. I teach a lot of women different crafts. And it's all in love, you know, it's all in opening their own power. And actually, to be a medium and work with the deceased is the most loving thing, because they're just energy. They need love just as much as a living person.
Right.
So if I'm tapping, you know, I don't believe in such things as demons. I don't believe they exist. Mm. I believe it's all from the mental simulation of our mind that we project our own fears.
Mm.
And even though I do exorcisms myself and I provide mediumship, it's more a case of understanding the psyche. So right. if as a deceased person, and I'm a psychopomp, which means that I actually guide the deceased to other realms. It's something that I've developed. So, you know, people ask me, how do you do that? And it's, I don't see them. And I'm not going to lie, I've gone through so many periods of my life where I wake up in the middle of the night and I need to use a bathroom and it's dark. and I'm like, okay, angels, archangels, ancestors, protect me. I don't want to see anyone today.
Gotcha. Yeah, you just want to use the bathroom.
And I'm not going to lie, that happens quite often for me. I still do that because I don't want to see. I'm happy with just hearing, and luckily I'm clairaudient and that suffices. So right. It's kind of like we're scared of the unknown, and it's the same with that. People are afraid of astral projection because they're afraid that their body will get taken over by someone or XYZ. Right. You're gonna go to hell.
Why? Why is it so bad? I don't get it. It makes no sense.
But you know, as an experienced medium myself, I've been doing like mediumship for like 3 years now, even because I was doing this work even when I was out of society, but I just didn't have a website. I wasn't online because I really enjoyed the aspect of people aligning with me just naturally, because I just met them. And it was just, it's more the fact of, it's okay to feel scared of opening your spirituality, because your ego doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Because you've been so programmed by your mind to follow the mind through everything. When they're energetically and tantrically, the truth is the rightful place of the mind is in the heart space. So the journey of ascension is grounding the mental body and taking it down to the heart space. So the mind can be used as an intellectual tool and the ego can be used in understanding intelligence of the cosmos rather than having the ego limit us. And I think that's the thing. We are brought up with ancestral trauma, ancestral wounds, life experience wounds that limits our horizons. So like we all have them. It's like, you know, I can't do this because I'm not good enough. I can't make videos because I don't look good enough. Right. Or, you know, things like that. And I just think it's, you don't know what you don't know, and you won't know unless you try. And it's that same thing of transformation. It's like accepting the fact that change is a thing and that change is required to claim your power in life.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Change is everything. Change. And it's like, what if time is an illusion and this is infinity, what a weird thought that you would manifest suddenly as a certain type of person or a form. And then your goal would be to stay that for all eternity, worshiping something. Now that doesn't make sense. Like, even like, again, it's like that Western Eastern schism. Like, I know even a lot of Hindu, like origin stories of the universe, it's like, no, this God literally broke itself into a billion pieces, a gazillion pieces. And then the game he put itself back together. Like that. I mean, to deal with infinity, you have to almost infinitely chase after a higher form of understanding of yourself, not just, I mean, water is always moving. Energy is always moving. We're like the idea that's still like, I've heard, you know, some people, this isn't my saying, but people say, you know, the idea that anything is still is a lie. Like just like atoms are in motion. If you're satisfied, or even worse, if you're trying to get people to just stick still with you, you're really doing a great disservice. And I can say that with a great deal of confidence and not judgment, just factual understanding. It's like, no, push yourself, push others, and just enjoy this journey, because that's what it is. It's a dream. It's an infinite dream. So why not experience it in an infinite manner?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Life is a play. I think that's that understanding and knowing that if you can co-create your life and you understand that you can have the power to create a life in this way, that it can feel like a dream, that you can live your dreams as well through it. I agree. I totally agree with that. Yeah. No. Well, isn't that what enlightenment is? Knowing that that's possible, that if we are meant to be living in this way, and that everything's always static, like nothing is ever stable, everything's always static, that we can always change. And that's the beauty of it. It's the realization and the reflections and the actualization that those are the things that we need to rebirth ourselves. And I agree. It's like, I love all Eastern philosophy, and like Zen philosophy has really helped me in the past, because I love meditation. And yogic philosophy, I'm very passionate about it. And they do, like a lot of Hindu deities and mythology, you know, they are symbolisms of energy. And you often hear, like, even the goddesses, you know, the goddesses, the Hindu deities and the goddesses are depictions of the multiple energies of wisdom that the female vessel can hold. And it's that thing of, and the whole concept of it is the fact that she is change, that she's always changing. And it's the same with the male. It's the fact that we are change, that nothing is ever the same. Nothing will ever stay the same. Even if you try and create a stability, nothing will ever stay the same. And that what will stay the same is your own power if you connect with it. And it's that connection. I guess the same thing. The key word is connection. If you have a connection with yourself, you have a connection with the higher forces, whatever you call it to be, whether it's source, spirit, God, goddess, irregardless, you have a connection to something that you feel is greater than yourself. And in a metaphysical perspective, you understand that you as a self aren't just a self. You are part of the universe, and that you have a place, or the multiverse, and you have a place.
I like that connection to yourself. So we're actually coming up to the end here. As far as anyone out there listening, is there anything that you feel led to say right now? Because I know sometimes something pops into your brain and there's a desire to get it out. So is there anything that I haven't led into or have brought up that is on your mind that you would wish to share before we close?
I guess what I'd like to say is that it's okay to be afraid of your power. It's okay to be afraid. A lot of the times people are afraid of being afraid.
Yeah, right.
Fear is natural. Fear is natural because we live in a polarity. So fear is the opposite side of love. The masculine is the opposite side of the feminine. It's all the same force. Creativity and sexuality, same force. So it's more, I just want to say that if you're listening to this and you want to move forward in your life in whichever way, know that it's okay that you're afraid. Know that it's okay if you're excited and nervous and in anticipation, because it's all a part of the process, because you yourself are a living process, and that you can claim your power. There is no such thing as not claiming your power, regardless of where you are listening to this, what you're doing in life. Change is always there for you, and that you are magnificent because, yeah, you're living.
Beautiful. What's your website?
www.thesacredwoman.com. I am updating my website as well with my new launch of services, because it's a running joke that I can't ever explain my services because I have so many. It's like a menu. So right. I've actually decided to publicize that menu. So you'll find me on Instagram at The Sacred Woman as well. I'm going to be posting, and I will share on my website all of my services.
Yes.
So just know that if you're looking for a reading, if you're looking for healing, if you just want some light codes or whatever, you can find me.
Yes. And if you're listening to this before the 24th, you can see her live in person doing her thing at the group meditation online. So please join us there.
Yes, join us. Please do join us. Even if you're new to meditation or if you're a pro, join us, because it's all about community.
Well, I thank you for this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sacred Woman, check her out. Check out her website. Everything's in the episode description. Check us out this Sunday if you're listening before the 24th. If not, catch the next one. And I got off of cold showers, and I challenge everyone to get back into cold showers with me. You hit warm water one time, and suddenly you forget the great success of cold showers. I'm going to talk about cold showers more in the next episode. So I love you guys all, and you know how this show ends in the words of William Wallace, baby. It's about one thing: freedom.